Oh, you? No, cool. Actually, if you have the Spirit of God living inside of you, none of this is new stuff when we go through things. All that happens when you go through the Word is it resonates, because you need the no man teach you when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So the Spirit of God just resonates in you, and it's like, ha, that's something that, yeah, God is already speaking and showing that to your spirit. You just bring it from a place of, you just bring it to the surface, I guess. And we elaborate on things that God is already teaching. So,
it's like a recollection of what you already know.
What the Spirit of God did. All right, if the Spirit of God knows all things, and the Spirit of God lives inside of me, then, you know, you don't need anybody to teach you. All you need to do is tap into the Spirit, and you're already in lockstep with what God's showing you. Now, that's why when you hear strange teaching or you hear false doctrine, you're like, whoa, I've never heard that before. And because you haven't. The Spirit of God never...
Yeah.
So, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. So even as we're going back into this series we're doing on prayer, this is part two tonight. We might do a little bit of a recap, but ultimately what we're doing in prayer is connecting up with the source of life. We're connecting up with the one who knows all and who incidentally lives inside of those that are his vessels, because he lives inside of your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So you're connecting up with the one that lives, moves, and has his being in us, even as we live and move and have our being in him. So it's this amazing, beautiful union that we have with the Father. So, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And this has kind of been our foundational text. And actually tonight, I want to read the whole chapter because I want to tie a couple things together here. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Take heed that ye do not do your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and that thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray. They love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, that thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Okay, this is the middle chunk of the Sermon on the Mount. You know, you have chapter 5 and chapter 7. Beautiful stuff. I love the red letters in the Bible where here it is, Jesus is speaking to us, to his people, to people at that time, and his words just resonate throughout time. We're just going to look at this chapter itself within the specific context of prayer, because the whole chapter itself fits prayer, even though you can subdivide it into specific things and do, you know, analysis about loving money or, you know, worry or things like that. Okay. First off, when we start into this thing, now we're talking about a real connection with the Father. When we talk about prayer, we are talking about connecting up with the source of life. The emphasis here, even at the start, is to be real. So you don't do what you do for other people. You don't do it because the form is not the thing that God is looking at. And it's about the heart and the heart connection. So when he starts off and he's talking about alms, and he goes through the same thing even when he goes into prayer, he goes into the same thing even when he goes into where your treasures are. It's like, you don't do this stuff for... If you do this stuff for people, you're missing it. So even when he begins this off, he says, alright, you know, when you do your alms, don't do them for people. You're doing something unto God. So if you're doing it unto people, God sees your heart, the one that sees and knows all things. So you missed it right there. So the best reward that you have out of something like that is that other people say, oh yeah, Damitabh is a great guy, what a generous guy. That's it. Because it wasn't unto God, you did it for other people, and that's where it ends. And the same thing with talking of when he starts going into prayer, and he says, when you pray, you know, basically go into your closet, go to a place where it is between you and the Father. Because last week, you know, when we went through the Pharisee and the tax collector praying before God, and how Jesus, giving that analogy, said, you know, the publican was the one that went away justified, because he was honest before God. This other guy, it said he prayed to himself, basically prayed with himself. So he's praying with himself, nothing about God. He went there to do what Jesus said here, which is they love to pray standing in the synagogues. Yeah, that's so. It's all a show. It's all a ruse. And in the end, they have no connection with the Father. The one that had a connection and went home justified was the one that started off in humility and honesty before the Father, realized his actual position and came to God like that. So verse 7 says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do. The heathen, at this time it was talking about Gentiles as well, but basically those that don't know God. And see, those that don't know God, inevitably they'll always default to form. So people that don't know God, what ends up happening is they will end up looking for and going to a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. So even they'll take the Lord's Prayer, and you will go in and you'll do your confession, and then they'll say, okay, now, you know, you owe me 10 Lord's Prayers. So, you know, so then you go to, and you say, Our Father out of heaven, number one, Our Father out of heaven, number two, Father out of heaven, you know, Hail Mary, so it's form that devoids itself of an actual connection. And now what did he say? So don't pray like them. Don't pray as the heathen. Vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So it's like, alright, right there, don't do it. So if you're stuck, you know, with some priest telling you, you know, alright, now you owe me. Well, no, I don't actually, because Jesus told me I don't. So that's simple enough for me. All right. Last week, and we're going to go, we'll backtrack a little bit. Last week we talked some about the difference between praying in Jesus' name and praying using Jesus' name. There's a huge difference between the two. Okay, so let's go back through that really quick. I did bring the board for a reason. Yosha, can I switch with
you? Yeah, sure.
All right, that'll be easier. Okay. So, don't mind me with the chocolate cake. Alright. When you pray in Jesus' name, what happens is, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha, He's the Omega. You start going through all the scriptures that start laying out who He is. He's the vine. So you have the vine. So John 15, you have Revelation 22, you have Hebrews, I think 11 or 12. But so you start seeing Jesus is abounds of our habitation. So when you start, you in Him you live, move, have your being. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. That's in Proverbs. So what ends up happening is you start seeing, okay, Jesus is a spiritual place, a spiritual reality that you can live in. When we did the first series on the New Covenant in Christ, what we laid out was the fact that the spiritual reality is what's real. The natural reality is the illusion. And so we thoroughly went through that, and just so that we could then begin to transition into, as we're talking about the kingdom of God, and we're talking about the spiritual kingdom, how is it that we now relate to that and operate in that? Because you are spiritual beings. The natural bodies that you live in are temporary. And in a very short time, all of us will be out of these bodies and on into, and we'll transition basically out of this. We'll go into a little bit about what the transition is. But as far as right now, because God is I Am, you and I, and anyone else that is in Christ, you are in Jesus. You are in Jesus' name. So, now I put it like this because, again, I want you to understand the difference between the priesthood of all believers and the religious system of the world, which is a pyramid like this, where they say, and that's not in Jesus, that's over here. Where in the religious system of the world is over here. In fact, I don't even like it inside there. I'm going to take it out. I can't stand that thing. Out here, you have your little religious system of the world. Your capstone is Lucifer, and everybody else is working their way up in the hierarchy. What this is over here, there's a doctrine that even in the very first church age and at the very start that God said he hated, which was the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which basically meant conquer the laity. It meant it was a teaching that separated a select liturgical group from, and so like, all right, here's some people with some special answer from God that you have to get to them to get to God, which nullifies the very work of Jesus on the cross, which meant that every person has direct access to the Father through the Son. So out here in the religious system of the world, what ends up happening is people over here, they're working their way up in this dead hierarchy. There is no God in there, but they're looking for somebody that might have some connection somewhere. There's little demons running around, so there's some spiritual power that you see out there, but there's no real connection. In Christ Jesus, in Jesus Christ, what happens is you are in the vine. Everybody here is on the same level with the Father in the Spirit. You have one head who is Jesus. And every single one of us is linked up in the Spirit to Him. So this is what we live in. So in Him, we live and move and have our being. This is the bounds of your habitation. So, in the Spirit. So now when you pray in Jesus' name, what that is you are actually praying from a spiritual position. A place of spiritual existence, not using Jesus' name. Because see, out here, these guys, they use Jesus' name. And when you use Jesus' name, what happens is you actually end up with that passage of scripture that's quite terrifying for most of these guys. Not for those that know him. But verse that Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, where Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now cross-reference that with John 17, verse 3, where Jesus said, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true living God, and your Son, whom you sent, Jesus Christ." So over here is a relationship of knowledge and of connection with the Father. Over here is using Jesus Christ, not here, on this side, the world side, is using Jesus Christ as a magic credit card to try to work their way up in the hierarchy, religious hierarchy and religious system of the world. And see, here's the thing too. Jesus didn't say that these guys didn't do these things. He didn't say they didn't build orphanages and demons weren't cast out and sick people weren't healed. Because see, the name of Jesus does still carry power. And God can work through a donkey or he can do all kinds of things. But in actuality, on the level of the Spirit, they weren't in connection with the Father. So don't be fooled by your natural eyes of what's going on. It requires the spiritual discernment to know the difference between what is of God and what is not. And so that's why, too, you will see two people will preach the exact same sermon. One of them will be in Christ, and the other one is in the world. Or the other one is in the religious system of the world. And if you don't have, if you're not in Christ for yourself, they'll both sound the same to you. Or you won't be able to tell them, or you'll be deceived by the other one. Whereas if you follow Jesus, and if you know Him, if you're in connection with Him, at this place what ends up happening is, my sheep know my voice. And they won't follow another. So what happens with prayer too, is we're developing a connection. You're developing your communication with the Father, so that you get more and more familiar with the way that He speaks to you. So like for example, the first time that I may have talked to Sandy on the phone. She went, "Hello, who is this?" So, hi, how are you doing? If I call 10, 15 times, by the 15th time, as soon as she picks up the phone, she recognizes my voice. Because there's a familiarity that builds up there. All the more so with the Father, is that you start getting comfortable with the way that He speaks to you, the way that He reveals things to you, the way that He will show you whatever it is that He wants to. That happens in your relationship in prayer. So does this make sense, though? The difference between praying in Jesus' name and praying using Jesus' name. Because see, ultimately, this praying in Jesus' name is the place that we seek to live our lives as followers of Christ.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
Using Jesus' name, you mean like just for the world's sake, right? You're not talking about actually using His name, but in the correct way.
What happens with this using Jesus' name? Yeah.
No, I'm asking. You know why I'm asking? Because you said they use Jesus' name, but they're in the... I understand what you mean, but then, again, we use Jesus' name in the correct way. So you're saying either way you can use Jesus' name, but there's a right way and a wrong way.
There's a difference between a spiritual position. The difference is not, again, in the words. The difference is in the place that somebody is in spirit, the relationship and the connection or the lack thereof. So you can have two people speak. You have two people reading the same Bible on Sunday from the pulpit. One of them is a minister of the devil, and another one is a true servant of God. Can you tell the difference? Do you have eyes to see? Because what happens is a lot of them are up there, and actually the devil promotes them because of the fact that they're serving his purposes. They're serving this world and this world system. Most of the overt true servants of God that I know are not allowed inside the churches because they're dangerous to the systems. They encourage people to follow God for themselves. And in the end, if they start collapsing the religious systems that have been put in place by man, what Jesus referred to as the teachings of men, that they would nullify the law of God and adhere to the teachings of men and the teachings of the elders and make the law of God none effect, what ends up happening is, in the end, if somebody reveals that, well, what did they do to Jesus? You know, kill him. You know, quick, kill him before he tells anybody else. I mean, who does this Jesus think he is? God? That's literally the attitude that they come with. So, okay. We'll stay on prayer. Within the aspect of prayer, though, you are developing your connection with the Father. So, where are we? Yeah. So the difference between praying in the name of Jesus versus using His name. If you understand this one, then also you start to see Scriptures encourage us to pray continually. You can do that by... See, the difference between the act of prayer and the state of prayer is the act of prayer is what you do when you get away into your closet or into a place where you can get away with God and connect up. The state of prayer is what you can maintain from that point through the rest of your day, through everything else that you're doing. So you can maintain a state of prayer and remain in a state of continuous connection with the Father at this place. You can remain in Jesus. But if you get pulled off into your flesh, what ends up happening is now you're not in a place where you're connected to Him. You can't hear very well now because now you've gotten into whatever else it is. And then at that place, what you just got to do is repent, connect back up, come back here. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Whereas in the world, what happens is what they do is it's all about form. It's all about ritual. And you do see demonic activity there that just enough to keep people strung along. So you will see like little demons running around and little coincidences happening just enough so people think, okay, this is working. You know? So a lot of that you see too with like the idolatry in different places, like their idol worship and stuff. You know, if I do this, if I, you know, jump on my head enough, or if I make enough of these little sacrifices, then I'll get some kind of favor from these little deities that are running around. But that's all out here. Okay. Got this chain. Yep. Okay. So Now let's go back to what is called the Lord's Prayer, yet it's the prayer that he was teaching the disciples. Matthew chapter 6. The thing that's interesting about this one, and we talked about last time, that you can take this and actually work through the tabernacle, and each, it's a progression even through the tabernacle. But when Jesus is teaching them to pray, he's giving them, I hesitate to say a model, but it's like, all right, you know, if you need to work through something, here's kind of like a skeleton. Here's something that you can work with. But each part of this, you can stay in this for hours if you want. So let's just talk this through a little bit. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, when God inhabits the praises of his people, this is kind of where we left off last week. God inhabits the praises of his people. That's the environment of heaven, is an environment of praise and worship unto God continuously. I mean, that's one of the elements of it. It's creation magnifying and glorifying God untainted. You know, the reality we live in here is this mixed hodgepodge of mostly, you know, the world is self-absorbed and cut off from God. But the reality of heaven and the reality of the environment that God lives in is one that glorifies God in every sense. And so it's not even this, you know, just continuous, all right, everybody's singing 24/7 and nobody ever stops. It's, you know, it's this, you know, okay, keep going, Natasha. So it's this reality where on every sense, in the glorified nature of what people are, it praises and magnifies and exalts God. And so when we come into this thing of and even as he's teaching them to pray, he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's basically whatever's going on, you're transitioning into this time as you enter his courts with thanksgiving, you enter his gates with praise. As you come into that spiritual tabernacle that you have access to through Jesus Christ, through the blood of the Father, through the blood of Jesus as you transition out of everything else that's going on around you into spirit, where all of a sudden it's like the presence of God begins to, it just starts to flood into whatever situation you're in and whatever's going on with you at the time. So, see, it's you're beginning the process of focusing the mind and the heart. And so as you do that, you get out of yourself and you're putting the focus where it needs to be. Because the world, the way the world works is it works to get you self-absorbed. And everything in this world, everything over here in this structure of the world is trying to keep you from ever getting here. And if you are here, to pull you back out. To keep you out of being in connection to the Father. So it's all designed around that end. There's some things that you can do just on a natural level to help yourself with this process. Like, for example, Job, you know, simple thing. He said in Job 31, verse 1, he said, you know, that he had made a covenant with his eyes, you know, not to basically look lustfully at a woman. I mean, that's my paraphrasing. But just not to let his eyes go there. So he made this promise to himself, to his own eyes. He said, all right, I'm going to guard what I look at. But let's look at this one here. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. or to guard your heart. Now, garbage in, garbage out. And that's the nature of, we're vessels, and we contain things. We contain, the Spirit of God lives inside of us. There's all kinds of other things going on in us. We live in a body made of flesh, so you have those desires that'll be there throughout your lifetime that you'll have issues with and struggles with. But when it comes down to the thing like prayer, you know when you go to pray all of a sudden and you try to quiet yourself and still yourself in the presence of God, what ends up happening? The second that you go and you try to pray. But yeah, you have the phone rings, or the, you know, somebody inevitably knocks on your door, or you have all this stuff that bombards your mind. Very, very many times you'll have there's also a demonic attack that will come against your mind and your thinking. So you're not crazy when that happens. It's actually very, very normal. So now there's some things that we do that give that ammunition. So for example, you know, if you put certain things in your head, then the moment that you go and actually like will try to quiet yourself before God, all that stuff will come right back up. So we need to make certain things, allow the Spirit of God to lead and guide you. Don't make it a religious thing, but just basically saying, all right, you know, if he says, don't look at that, don't listen to that, just don't. Just skip it, turn it. But many, many times what happens though is you'll end up having some kind of demonic attack that will come against you to keep you from getting there, to keep you from coming into the presence of God. So, you know, with the mind's eye, you know that when people refer to the mind's eye, it's like if you close your eyes but you can still see a picture. You know, you still can see something. So there is that component of us. Focus that on something. So don't just allow that to go randomly wherever. You can focus that on something specific. So if you choose, say something like the cross, you know, or focus it on, just allow God to give you a vision of Himself and keep your focus there. And you know something, like if you do have thoughts that are bombarding you, you can make in your own brain like a little prison cell. And you can actually grab those in your head, take them, put them in there, crush the thing up, and toss it away. I mean, these are just like, you can do that. When you have encountering demonic attack while you are trying to pray, you can actually bind that in Jesus' name and cast it out away from you. And cast it off from you, because it has no right to be there unless you allow it to stay there. So you have to fight in the spirit to come to this place of connection. There's some things that you can do in that when you praise and worship God. Some music is a beautiful thing as well. Like if you can turn on something in a room that they really hate, they don't really like hanging around there very long. So I'm just giving you some practicals. But because music again, there's spirit behind everything. So you can have again two songs. One of them is done by somebody that is led by the Spirit of God, and the other one is done by somebody that is in the world and sold out to the world and connected to the hierarchy of the world. One of them has life in it. The other one is just sowing death into your spirit. And the difference between the two, when you listen to something that has life in it, you feel that life. You're strengthened by it. When you listen to something that has that death in it, it just afterwards is like, you know, I need a shower. It's like, but and see, the world, again, what will the world promote? The world will promote its own. So the bulk of what you'll get is that which furthers the world system. So you have to use, again, a little discernment there. But, you know, not to say that, you know, there's plenty of things that you can learn from, and not to get let the Spirit of God direct and lead and guide that. So don't, you know, start burning books and, you know, just like, oh, this is evil, gotta go. No, I mean, don't go along those lines. But just basically say, oh, God, you know, here it is. You just lead and direct and guide what it is that I'm around and what it is that I do. And allow for that. Okay, when you begin in prayer, begin with praise and worship to God. Put everything else aside and just go to Him in honesty and humility before Him. And just come to Him. Thank Him for who He is and thank Him for what it is that He's done for you. No matter what your problems are or what it is that you're facing, you have something to be grateful to God about. You have many, many things to be grateful to God about. So begin to thank Him for that. You know, praise Him for who He is. If nothing else, He is worthy to be praised for who He is. And the fact that you have breath in your body is a chance to praise Him. As you praise and worship God, what happens is you're creating an environment that, again, the Spirit of God enjoys being in. And you feel the presence of God even in that environment. I have never once felt worse after prayer. I've always felt better. I've always felt strengthened after I spent time in prayer. Okay, when we pray, let me flip back here to Matthew 6. But guard your heart, again, so you're doing some things while you're out and about, just to be careful, because you will be exposed to things continuously. But if you're exposed to stuff, but you didn't, by your own will, put yourself there, just, you know, don't, basically just bind it, don't allow it to come in and to soak into you. Because, I mean, many times, you know, you surf the internet and something will pop up, or, you know, you'll just, so just, you know, discipline yourself. If you're exposed to something that's not on, just ask the Father, you know, just pray for His protection around you, because you need that. You're fighting a battle for your mind and your thoughts. The whole world is fighting for your consciousness. And so the world is fighting to control your mind, and the Father says, look, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So we have to make some decisions to transition our thinking for it to be like Christ, but we have to work with the Holy Spirit to do that, because He won't override our will. You get the choice of your affections in the end. Okay. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When you pray this, there's different levels and dimensions to this. In earth as it is in heaven. Alright, soil, in dirt. You are dirt. So you're praying for God's will to be done in you, in this earthen vessel. You're also praying for God's will to be done in the earth and the world around you, the world that you live in, the places that you are at. And when He's told us and instructed us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, He's teaching you also to pray, to deliberately choose to yield your will to the will of the Father. See, God won't override your will. So what He does, you create it with a free will that God honors, and so does the devil. They allow you to make a choice, and you get to live with the consequences of your choice. So what you do when he's teaching them how to pray, and when He's teaching us how to pray, He is teaching you to say, all right, God, I choose your will, not mine. Your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I yield my will to your will. You have your way. And so you choose to get off the throne of your life and make sure that the Father has that. You choose that. And you choose to ask for the manifestation and the increase of His kingdom in every aspect of what it is that you know and who you are and the reality that you live in and that you're around. Does that make sense? Okay. So give us this day our daily bread. Okay, again, last week we talked about the spiritual bread, and that Jesus is the bread that came down from heaven. He is the Word. man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we have that spiritual dimension, in that I need to feed off of Jesus this day. I need to eat his body and drink his blood this day. I need his life in me, because the life is in the blood. I need that in me. So give me this day my nourishment from heaven and the love of the Spirit. There's also a natural dimension to this, because as you go on to the rest of this chapter, you have, he talks about, look, don't worry about food and clothing, because, the birds, just look at them, They don't sow and store away into barns, but your Heavenly Father feeds them and takes care of them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? So, you have different dimensions of this as well. But basically, you are trusting the Father, and you're asking him for, you don't need bread for tomorrow, because you're not in tomorrow. See, one thing about prayer, and one thing just about God is I am. So he's ever present. So he is right now. He's in this moment right now. And actually, this moment is all you have. The past doesn't exist, and the future, really, you don't know either there. And this, you have to be careful, because there's a lot of teaching that will try to get you to be somewhere else than right now. See, eternity is right now. Eternity, God is I am. Right at this moment, you can step in and cross into eternity here. And so when people start looking to something to happen, something, and they get out of where they're supposed to be, which is here, right now. This is what you have. This moment is the only moment that you have. So when people start looking and anticipating the future and all of that, not that, we don't have an awareness about things, but you are here. So my dad has a statement. He says, be here now. And I know he got that from someone else. But it's ultimately what that is. Just like, look, be here, be in this moment right now. Jesus was a classic with that. If you start reading just how he moved and walked and lived, his life, and Jesus, the ultimate man of prayer, he was always right where he was. There's a lot of people that are not where they are. I mean, you see them, but they're all over the place. And they're worried about things they have no control over. Their minds are somewhere else. They're living from one crisis to the next. So God is I am, and we live in I am. So we're the same. So, when he talks about give us this day our daily bread too, here's something as well. See, as the world starts to go off its hinges, provision and things like that is going to get much more strained and much more tested. And you're going to see more and more the hand of God in the miraculous taking care of his people. And it's because he feeds and takes care of his, those that are his. So when I remember one time when I was in I moved to Washington D.C. and I just had unpacked like my boxes and stuff, and I didn't have any food in this place or anything like that, and I didn't have a car. I didn't have I don't know where anything was, and so I just got there. But then and so I was like, all right, I'm into my new place. So I just started praying. And as I was praying, my upstairs neighbor came down, knocked on the door. I was like, hey, oh, hi. Well, I just brought this by. It's just, I had lunch for me. She just brought over. And it was just really cool, because it was just like, even in that, here it is. I'm in a new place. I don't know where anything is. I don't know anybody. But in that situation, just little encouragement, little nudge, just shows, look, I've got you. I've got you taken care of. No matter what the situation is, as you seek first the kingdom, that's what he promised. Again, his promise is you put the kingdom first, and your needs, whatever is the need, God gives the need when it's needed. That was something he told me a long time ago. He said, I'll give you the need when it's needed. There's a lot of things that I don't have right now because I don't need them. And when I need them, they'll be there. And if I had them right now and I didn't need them, they would just be a burden and an inconvenience. It would be something else that I have to maintain and look into and watch over, and I wouldn't need it right now. God is a master of just in time. So, if you know, if you have your business backgrounds, just in time. So, okay. So the world is working to keep you distracted though. So again, when you start going over to later part of this chapter 6, where Jesus is addressing the things that distract the world. So food and clothing are two of the big ones. So the world gets just wrapped up in it. You know, it consumes their thinking. And Jesus is like, look, don't worry about this. You know, if I got this covered, you put the kingdom first and I'll take care of that stuff. Don't let that take your thoughts. So even when we pray, he's just teaching us, look, trust me with this one. Put this one out there and then just watch me, I got it. So on the spiritual, on the natural, every dimension, he's got it covered. Okay. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let's go back to... Okay. We can draw it if we need to. You remember with the tabernacle, the spiritual tabernacle, what you ended up having was, you ended up having the laver, which was the place where you would wash... It was the place where you would wash your... Basically your hands... In washing your hands, and there's a bowl, but it's like a place where you're cleansing yourself of sins, and you can see yourself. Now, after the labor, so here, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to show you guys this to save me from drawing it. After, if you find it, there you go. There it is. Okay. So it's right here. Now, intercession is made here. So, what happens is, when Jesus is talking about, look, when you pray, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, if you don't forgive people, he's teaching you, look, alright, Jesus, when he shed his blood, and he washed you clean of your sins, far more has he forgiven you of than you could ever be expected to forgive somebody else, no matter what they've done to you. So, but he's also showing us, look, you need, allow for this, allow for the work in the Spirit to turn you into somebody that is a forgiving person, because again, you're progressing with the Father in the Spirit. You're coming into that dimension. Okay. So, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because we have to pray that. Because, again, everything that we're surrounded by, if it was up to me, I would be leading myself into all kinds of temptation all the time. But when we pray like that, what happens is the Father will open and close all kinds of doors around us. And there will be people that you will try to meet and you cannot meet them. There will be other people that you will run into that you were not planning to talk to at all, and all of a sudden they're right there in your life. So when you pray that, you are again asking the Father that knows all the stuff going on behind the scenes, that's fully aware of the spiritual reality that we transition in and out of because we struggle with this issue of living in the flesh as well. But he, seeing every motivation, every intention of everything else going around you as well, he's, now you're asking, look, God, look out for me, because I can't see, I don't understand the traps that are being laid. So lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. I need you to help me over here. I need you to keep me from going down or going the pathway that is not your plan and your purpose. remember again from back from the first one of the first lessons where we talked about there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end leads to death. It's Proverbs 19:2, I think, 19:2 or 19:3. But now contrast that to where Jesus was going to die on the cross, and Peter said to him, "No, Lord, say it's not so." Jesus going to his death led to life. Peter trying to save Jesus' life would have actually led to death. Do you see the difference? So there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end leads to death. So what we pray for when we also pray, "Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver me also from myself. Deliver me from this world, from my flesh, from my enemy the devil, because I need you to deliver me from all these landmines that are around me, that if left unto myself and unto my own thinking, I will surely destroy myself. But if you orchestrate my circumstances and the way that I'm walking, as a result of that, I'll go on the path, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I will go on the path that He has for me. And I'll actually walk this life out on the way." So you won't get, if you pray like that, and you're seeking that, you won't get snagged. Now, if you lead yourself into temptation, then brother, you get everything else that comes with that. So, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So, now again, it's again, even the very entrance point is where you're entering His gates with thanksgiving. Again, it's all about God. That's where you end up, again, even in this, the heavenly tabernacle, as you end up, it's all about Him. You know, it comes down to nothing exists outside of I Am. Everything is in Him. So everything outside of Him ceases to exist. So, let's see here. Okay. So we got a little bit of time. Barriers to prayer. Why is it that sometimes when you pray, your prayers don't go anywhere? So you feel like you've gone to pray, and then all of a sudden now there's nobody there. You know, or you feel like that. Or you feel like nothing is, you're not connecting with anything. Alright, there's a lot of things that you can find in Scripture. I'll give you some. Alright, give you one. Unforgiveness. We already touched on this one a little bit. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 through 15, where we just went through. Where it says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Okay, because here's the place again, where under the old covenant, which was a shadow, which kind of gave us a natural example of a spiritual reality, you haven't crossed into a place where you can make intercession. You're kind of stuck out here. You can't get into this place. So you're not moving into a place where God will hear you. So if you don't forgive men their sins, God doesn't forgive you either. But and now let me give you an example of what ends up happening. Matthew chapter 18, verse 22. Matthew chapter 18, verse 22 through 35. Jesus saith unto him, "Say not unto thee seven times, but let's go to verse 21, sorry. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his own fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sore, very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldst not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So, okay. So Jesus said, here's what's going to happen. If you choose by your free will. So, example. The guy owed something he could not pay. He couldn't do it for the life of him. 10,000 talents is millions and millions and millions of dollars to somebody that doesn't have that. Behind the eight ball, you're never going to get there. We were born in sin. We were born in a world of sin. We were born tainted and cut off from a holy God. And He, through Christ Jesus, made the way for us to reconnect to the Father and be cleansed and forgave and cleansed us so that we could be in connection with God. Then, if we then choose to, because somebody has done X, Y, Z to us, and it can be something petty, it can be something traumatic and absolutely horrible and horrendous. So maybe somebody was gang raped, you know, and they're struggling with something like that. What happens is that, see, people, it's not in human nature to forgive. The nature of the flesh and who we are is not programmed to forgive. So what we are seeking is a work of the Holy Spirit to rewire us, to enable us to do what it is that God instructs us to do in the first place. So we see, for example, here's part of what we're doing here. When we see that something that's in our life is not in line with the Word of God or with the Spirit of God, one and the same, we say, God, I see that I'm not this. Would you do the work of your Spirit to transform me into what you want me to do? That's one of my prayers. God, change me to be what your word wants me to be what you made me to be. So your word says I should forgive. And I am struggling because this person did this to me. And in my flesh, so what happened, a beautiful prayer God taught me was, God, I can't do this in and of myself, but I choose to, by the power of your Spirit living inside of me, I choose to forgive that person. Enable me to forgive that person for what they've done. And what happens is the Spirit of God over time does that work in you. But you make that decision in your own will, your choice again, which God honors, to choose to forgive or to choose to hold on and to harbor bitterness, anger, and resentment for what somebody's done. And now what happens though is, and here's what scripturally what happens is, that when somebody didn't forgive, verse 34, and his Lord was wroth with and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So when you choose not to forgive, what happens is God turns you over then to what it is that you've chosen. He then says, all right, you've chosen this, here you go. And you end up getting into a place where you have tormenting spirits that come back and eat you up. And so you hold that bitterness and that unforgiveness in your heart, and it just chews you up day in and day out. And so every day, and so you keep somebody in your heart, this person, this weird, whatever it is that happened in your life, you hold on to that. You beat that person up in this prison cell in your own mind, but then at the end of it, what ends up happening is you are the one that's tortured. You are the one that struggles. You are the one that ends up hurt. That other person's moved on. They're not. You're the one that's suffering. You're the one that is in pain because of that. And so you get turned over to tormenting spirits that will torture you with that. And why? And then all of a sudden you're like, well, why is God not hearing my prayers? Well, that's what you've chosen. You've chosen, rather than have communion with the one that loves you and the one that can heal you, that has forgiven you, you've chosen a reality where, all right, you know, God, I don't want your forgiveness because I don't want to forgive anybody else either. I want to hold it all to myself because, darn it, I've got a right to be mad and a right to be pissed off about this. I've got a right to hold on to this. So there. Well, all right, if that's what you want, but in the end, you're miserable. See, Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross for our sins, and He took the sins of the world on Himself, and He took everything bad that we ever, every aspect of who we were that was horrendous, and He took that upon Himself. What happened was He absorbed into Himself the very core of the sin, that He became sin. He that knew no sin became sin for us. So now, because of that, what happens is return the favor. You know? It may seem like the worst and traumatic thing that may have happened, but, and not to make light of that, but God desires that you would be like Him, be transformed into His image. So you choose that. You ask the Father and you say, God, I struggle with this. I have things that come into my head about this. I have nightmares about this. I have whatever. Bring that to Him. That's what prayer is for. But even right there, when you have prayed and you said, God, I choose to forgive. Right there, the choice you made, even if you've got struggles with it, you've crossed then into a place here in the spiritual tabernacle of God where you are now in a place where you're accessing Him, and He will then work the rest of that, transition the rest of that in you. So even if you have a shattered personality because of abuse or things like that that have taken place, He will work that. He will begin to do the work of the Spirit in you to mend. And even if things don't ever all get pieced back together, the Spirit of God will flow through every broken part of your life and touch the lives of others. But you have to make that choice. You make the choice for that. So the difference between unforgiveness and choosing to do what it is that the Word of God instructs us is the difference also between being in a place where you're connecting with the Father or where you're turned over to the choice you've made. So, and then people are like, God doesn't hear my prayer. Well, I wonder why, you know? I mean, He gave you some instructions in the Word. So, okay. So if you're struggling with something like unforgiveness, ask the Father by the Holy Spirit to enable and to empower you to forgive. And people that are God's kids, one thing about them is they have a nature of being forgiving people. You know, it doesn't mean be stupid. Don't put yourself, if God has given you some wisdom and discernment, be a little bit careful about the situations that you get into and the places that you put yourself, and listen to the voice of the Spirit that will probably keep you out of a lot of things. But when stuff happens, forgive and move on. I'll give you running out of time here, so I'll give you a little bit more. Couple more. Unbelief. Matthew 17. Flip back. We're staying in Matthew a little bit today. Matthew 17, verse 14 through 21 says, "And when they came, they were come to the multitude. There came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on me, on my son, for he is a lunatic, and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him.' And then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.' And the Lord, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could we not cast him out?' And Jesus said unto them, 'Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, "Remove hence to yonder place," and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth out not but by prayer and fasting." So, okay. So because of unbelief, there's a block. And see, ultimately here, right, there is faith. There's a gift of faith that God does give as well. But faith is just, is basically trust. That's, you can interchange that word for faith. You trust God because you've seen, he's proven himself. And so when you trust God, when you have faith in God, you have trust in God, it's just that much of an assurance, that much of a certainty that he can and will do what he said he'll do. So if you struggle with unbelief, and so many times it's just because of circumstances, but you just have to get a perspective back, you know, of who God is. I mean, the very fact that you have breath in your body and that you can even experience this life you're in is a gift from him. So is he not, it's not too far-fetched to realize that he's in control of everything else past that. So if you struggle, even there, with this guy, I think another one of the Gospels where this father was, you know, asked Jesus to heal him, he said, you know, the guy was like, "If you can help me, Jesus." He's like, "If I can." He's not, I mean, you know, it's all things are possible to him who believes. And the guy said, "You know, I do believe, just help me overcome my doubt." You know, and so it's like, if you struggle there, just ask God. Say, "God, look, I'm struggling with this. You know, I need your help. Would you help me? Because I know you can do this, but I'm struggling." And again, prayer is being real with the Father. You know, we're just being real with him. And rather than, you know, here's my 10 Hail Marys, and now, you know, that should be enough to hit. You see, again, go back to when Jesus was talking about prayer in Matthew 6. He said, don't be like the heathen who, see, they believe, again, it's contingent on their own efforts. So if I just do enough of these, something's going to happen. But the difference is like, but they really don't believe it. They really don't believe God will do it. They believe they will do it by their efforts. You see the difference? So, okay, I'll give you another couple here. Disobedience or willful sin, Isaiah 59, verse 2. Isaiah, like Isaiah, cool dude. Isaiah 59 and verse 2. Says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." See, now this is, again, specific context, but general principle. Willful sin, willful... You remember in Jesus? When you choose that, so the leading of the Spirit is here, and he's telling you, you're on this path with God, and you choose something that's not the Father, you come out over here, and now you're in a place where you're blocked. And you, so, All right, willful decision, willful choice, stupid choice, did something really stupid. God, I am so sorry. Forgive me. And he does. Now he searches your heart. He knows. But if you screwed up, if you messed up, whatever the case may be, just get right with the Father. But don't let this be your lifestyle. Don't let this be because if you deliberately choose that, then you know you're choosing this out here. That's you're choosing a different path. But if you mess up or something like that, because we will, guaranteed, every one of us will mess up in the rest of the time that we're here on the earth, just come back here. But come back into a place where, and just do that through repentance. So, okay, another time sometimes why your prayers are not answered is because you're praying against God's will. For example, Psalms 113 verse 3 and Isaiah 45 verse 6, you can just mark those, but basically saying that the sun is going to rise in the place where it's going to rise. The sun rises in the east, sets in the west. And you can pray till you're blue in the face, the sun is not going to rise in the north. So there are some things about, you know, that God has put in place and God has set in order that is according to his will, plan, and purpose. And you can pray for something that is outside of that and no, it's not going to happen. That's again why you pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. You're asking for that. So you're not asking for something that's my selfish personal agenda, kingdom building that I'm trying to do, and again, using Jesus' name, not in Jesus' name. You are asking for God's kingdom to come. He's the master. We are the servants. We do serve. So we're asking for that. We're appealing to the Father for that. So again, when you're praying, if you are asking for something, put it before him like that and say, God, you know, if this be your will, here's what it is that, because I, again, there's a way that seems right to me, but I want to have your thoughts and I want your plan and purpose. Would you reveal that and would you orchestrate that? So those are just, you know, some examples. But basically, if you're wondering why your prayers are not answered or you're struggling with something, just ask God, because he will answer. He wants you to be in connection with him. So, you know, if you're struggling, come to him in honesty and say, God, why am I, you know, why is it so hard for us to connect right now? And just see what he shows you. You know, sometimes it may be just the fact that, you know, you just need to read the Word. Just get in the Word and let the Word wash over you. Because sometimes it may just be a season that you're in. So it may not be, you know, something that you did or something that happened or whatever. It may just be that you're in a certain season where you just need to spend time in the Word. And it's a dryness, but even in that you're learning a deeper dimension of trust and how to trust the Father in everything. So, but just ask him. Don't go running around asking all these other people, because inevitably they'll all have another opinion. And each one of them, because there's a way that seems right to them, they'll have all these different opinions for you, and you'll just be more confused than ever before. So, go to the Father directly. You don't need me, you don't need anybody, you just need him. Jesus Christ is a mediator between you and the Father. So, and ultimately what we're doing, even when we discuss something like prayer, is you're valuing your connection to the Father over and above anything else. So you're valuing my connection with the Father in connection with life, because this is eternal life, that they may know God. So you're valuing that, and you're putting a premium on that and saying, God, above all, I need to live and move and have my being in you. I need to live and move and have my connection in you. Out of that then, now we live the lives that he has for us and lives through us in this world as we live in that connection.